May God be pleased to bless us together this evening as we meditate upon his word. Let us turn to the first epistle of Peter, the first chapter, and reading the last two verses, 24 and 25. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, reading verses 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. As the apostle comes to the end of this first chapter, he directs us to the great difference between human flesh, human beings, and the word of God. The word of the Lord is enduring. People are not physically enduring. And so we see the apostle gives us an analogy with regards to our natural being, our flesh, and indicates the position of it when he says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Well, I'm sure we appreciate the truth of that with regards to grass. Grass is available to observe, isn't it, everywhere. And here we have this description, which is aligning flesh to grass. And it doesn't say some flesh, it doesn't say, well, there are some people who are like this and others are exempt from it. No, it's a statement which says all, everybody, every person that ever has been and ever will be born into this earth comes within this category. They are described as grass. And the grass withers. We know the grass withers. The sun shines on it, and there's no water, it very quickly shrivels up and dies. And the life is not very long. So that's the description. All flesh is as grass, and the grass withereth. And then the apostle tells us, and all the glory of man. Well, the glory of man, however proud man may be, and however gifted a person may be, and however able they may be in many virtues, yet their glory, will it last forever? No, their glory is like the flower, and it falleth away, or it fadeth away. It doesn't last. And that's the condition of mankind. What a description it is. And it describes you and me. We're just like that. And it's good if we realize, really, the truth of the word of God, which tells us how frail we are. We might think we're strong. We might think we're able-bodied. We might think we're going to live for a long time. We have no idea how long we shall live on this earth. But one thing is true, and that is the description of us. We're just physically like grass, which withereth, and all our goodness, all our natural glory, you know, people glory, don't they, in their strength. We see people glorying, don't we, in their strength. Well, that glory fades away, it withers, it falleth away. Our strength doesn't last forever, does it? We see, don't we? The word of God tells us, rejoice, young man, rejoice not, young man, in thy strength. You see, we're tempted to look at ourselves and think we're so strong and able. But we should realize we're just like this. We're just like flesh, just as grass which withereth, and our glory as like the flower which falleth away. Well, that's the description really of mankind. And then, you see, Peter gives this wonderful comparison. He comes and he says, but, this is the great difference, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word of God does not fade away. It does not wither. It does not disappear. It does not die. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, surely that should be to us tonight a wonderful consolation and a wonderful strength as we recognize that the whole of the word of God endures. There is nothing wasteful in the word of God. There is nothing untrue in the word of God. The Lord Jesus, when he prayed to his Father, he said, "Thy word is truth." And my friends, the word of God is truth. And therefore, what a blessing it is that you and I can rely upon this truth. And this word of God endures forever. And the apostle tells us, "And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." And so it's a favor for us to realize that we have the truth of God, the word of God, which is preached unto us. And that word which will indeed stand, it will not fade away, it will not wither. And the apostle Peter, well, he knew the great truth of this. And he directs us. In the beginning of this chapter, he says, "Blessed be God the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, who is the apostle speaking of? He's speaking of the church of God. He's speaking of those who will endure. Yes, because the word of God endures, and they will endure, not in a physical way, but their spiritual life will endure, because that spiritual life is an eternal life. And those that the apostle is speaking about, he enumerates here. He tells us they are the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, those which were known by the Father before time began. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So the apostle is addressing here a peculiar people, an elect people, a saved people, a people who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And it's those that he is addressing. And therefore, it is good, therefore, to think that the word of God addressed to such is so gloriously true, which endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And the word of God is the gospel. It is the good news to dying sinners. And what good news we have read together this evening. Because the apostle tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What this means is there was no resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no spiritual hope. There will be no living hope, no lively hope. But can we tonight bless God for the gospel, bless God for the risen Saviour? Oh, how precious was the risen Saviour to the apostle. and to think what he says, according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. His abundant mercy in giving us that new birth. Abundant mercy, is it not? Just ponder that thought, my friends. It's the abundant mercy of God to you and to me tonight, if we have been born again by the Spirit, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, a true hope. And what is it? It's that which is through the Spirit, and that is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, the word, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And as that shows to us the glory and the blessing and the favour and the mercy to the children of God, it then tells us of the prospect that those who are born again of the Spirit of God can be found looking forward to. You see, our spiritual life is not a dead-end situation. My friends, our spiritual life is a life with eternal blessings. How vastly different that is to time things, which indeed perish, like we read. They wither and they fall away. But my friends, eternal blessings are eternal. They are forever and ever, beyond our comprehension, eternity. And what are these blessings? Well, the apostle tells us. He says, it is to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, an inheritance. You see, when we inherit something, we haven't worked for it, we haven't deserved it, but it's been left to us. Our inheritance comes by way of wills. When people die, they leave a will, and there is an inheritance, and that inheritance is given to certain people. Well, wonderful blessing, isn't it? God gives an inheritance to all of his children, those who are born again of the Spirit. Now, this is the enduring word of God. This is not something which is going to cease and vanish away. This is that surely which is set before the living family of God as they look forward to the end of their life. People don't look forward to the end of their life, do they? They think it's a morbid consideration. But bless God when he brings us, and it is only the Spirit of God that can bring us to look forward with some little anticipation of the glory and the wonder of those things which God has gone to prepare for us. You know those words in John's Gospel are wonderful, aren't they? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The very clear inference of that is, heaven would not be heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there, seated on the throne, is the glorious Saviour who has sacrificed his life that our sins might be atoned for by the shedding of his most precious blood, as the apostle comes later on in this chapter. And so we have this situation to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Our life fades away, My friends, eternal life does not fade. It's the same. Oh, bless God, never fades. And therefore it is incorruptible. We are corruptible because of sin. Our flesh is corruptible. And we will never naturally live forever. The most we can live is 100 or so years. And as you compare that with eternity, it cannot even be seen. It is so, so small. And so think of this great and glorious prospect to the church of God. And not only is it incorruptible and undefiled, undefiled means there's no sin. This is the word of the Lord. This is the great truth which is by the gospel is preached unto us. There's no defilement. It's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? Because we are filled with defilement. We have a sinful heart, sinful mind, a sinful being. It's so, so very difficult to keep ourselves from sinning. Indeed, sin is mixed with all we do. And here we have this statement, this incorruptible and undefiled inheritance. Yes, what a glorious thing it is to receive such an inheritance. Well, this is the blessed favour of those who are born again by the Spirit of God. Now, the apostle tells us this great blessing is in heaven, and it is a reserved place in heaven. No one will arrive in glory and will find there's no place for them. And again, that's a very humbling thought, isn't it? To think that Almighty God, in his wonderful love, has reserved a place in glory. A place in glory. A place for us. We won't come, we won't die and be shut out. No, we shall be received. As we said just now, the Lord has gone to receive us unto himself, to give us that prepared place, that reserved place in heaven for you. And again, he continues with a description of the church of God. These people are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, Peter could well speak of being kept, couldn't he? He knew how easy it was to be left and to fall under temptation and to deny his Lord and Master. None of us are any better than the Apostle Peter. In fact, when the Spirit of God works in our heart, we will look at Peter and recognize we're far worse than Peter. Indeed, we can agree with the Apostle Paul, the chief sinner, the less than the least of all saints. The Spirit's work tells us of our true condition before a holy God. And to think then there is this wonderful blessing. And may we pray again and again that we may be kept. Kept from evil, kept from sin, kept from wrong thoughts, kept from wrong deeds. Kept by the power of God through faith. And what is that faith? Well, it's not something that you and I have worked out ourselves. It's something which we have received. We have received. You see, the Apostle Paul, he tells us that so very clearly, and it's important to know that there are these verses in the Word of God that confirms these things very strongly and very powerfully to us. When he wrote to the Ephesians in the second chapter, in the 8th verse, he tells us this: "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, right? And we know what faith is. through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This faith that the apostle is speaking of here is that which we have been given. It's the gift of God, and how humbling it is to think that we should be blessed with this inheritance because we have received and we have been given this lively, this true faith, this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the all-sufficient Saviour. And the apostle tells us, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are a proud people. Left to ourselves, we would boast of what we had done. Well, there's no chance, there's no possibility of you and I boasting of our salvation, because it's by faith, and God has given us that faith to believe. And so he tells us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The effect of this faith will produce good works in our life, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we have then this evidence and this testimony of this blessed word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. You see how thankful we should be that we have these grand truths that will endure. And nothing, my friends, will dismiss them or erode them, because they are written in heaven and they are God's word. And so to be thankful tonight for this word of the Lord which endures forever, believing it's the word which is preached unto us. And so the apostle says, now then, this is what he says. Having spelt out the glory of this position, he now says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. My friends, tonight, do we rejoice in what God has done for us, unworthy sinners? Are we able to look into our lives and trace back God's hand upon us, watching over us, convicting us, showing us our sinful condition, our hopeless condition, and directed us to the only one, the only way of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ? And to think then that we have received the word of the Lord, wherein, says the apostle, ye greatly rejoice. Now, my friends, the church of God have reason to greatly rejoice. And I hope tonight that by the grace of God, every one of us may be able to greatly rejoice in that great salvation, in the truth that there is reserved in heaven for us, this wonderful inheritance which God has given to us. And so the apostle tells us, wherein ye greatly rejoice. He states it as a fact. And my friends, I believe it is true. There are those times, are there not, when we greatly rejoice to think that we are numbered amongst those, as the apostle tells us, who are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Not anything that we've done in ourselves, but because God, he loved us with an everlasting love and with loving kindness, has drawn us. He drew us to himself. We couldn't draw ourselves, because naturally we were alienated. Not only were we alienated, we were dead in trespasses and in sins. But what a wonderful thing to receive that life, that endless life, that eternal life, that gift of God. Now then, the apostle, having told us wherein ye greatly rejoice, he then tells us a little of the true path of a Christian. You see, there is a real balance in the Christian's life. And the balance is really this. It's to show us that here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And therefore, we will find that in one way or another, we are not allowed to settle down in this world as though it was our home. My friends, God has given us many, many things, especially in our nation here, many, many comforts, many, many blessings. But nonetheless, if we are among the family of God, there will be really the continuance of those times of difficulty and tribulation as we pass through this world, as we realize, well, this is not my rest. It is polluted, as the prophet Micah tells us. Well, Peter, he tells us now, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. And there are needs be in our lives. We may not always like to acknowledge needs be in our life. My friends, the Lord leads us in this way, remembering, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto us. This is the grand and glorious truth of the gospel. This is the pathway of a child of God, the pathway of a Christian. It's not the pathway of someone who's left to himself, someone who's taken up with the poor things of this life, but it's those who greatly rejoice in what Christ has done for them. And so the apostle says, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Heaviness. Do you know, do you understand that? Do you understand what the apostle says here? If need be, we are in heaviness through many temptations. Is this the pathway of a Christian? The Apostle Peter knew it himself. He was speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, but he was speaking those things which he'd handled and felt himself. He knew the truth of them. It's in heaviness through manifold temptations. Many temptations come into our life. The devil brings many, and we need much grace, continual grace, to resist the temptations. My friends, sometimes they come in like a flood. That's why the Spirit of God instructed the apostle like this, ye are in heaviness through many temptations. The path of the true child of God. He then says then, at the trial of your faith. See, these temptations test the reality of our faith. Test whether it is God-given faith or whether we ditch it and get on with the temptations and want to submit to all the temptations the devil brings before us. Remember, as I said recently, there is the crucifixion of the flesh. And therefore, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Well, the apostle couldn't use a greater analogy, could he? We know, naturally speaking, the value of gold, don't we? It's a valuable metal, isn't it? But here the apostle draws our attention to not just faith, but the trial of our faith. And that means our faith is put on trial. It's as though we're in court and we're stood up in the box in the court, and we're being examined with regards to our faith, whether it's real or not. Because we don't want to have a false faith, do we? We don't want to have our faith. We want to have a God-given faith. And so, therefore, we should be thankful if our faith is being tested to prove whether it is real or not. And so the apostle says, the trial of this faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. You know, fire burns up all the rubbish. And when various materials mixed with gold are put into the furnace has to be heated very hot to separate those metals so that the gold comes to the surface as that which is pure. Bless God, if he comes into your life and my life and purifies our faith, what we prove is this: it's the word of the Lord which is enduring. What it means is this: we have to go back to the word of God. We have to go back to the promises of God. We have to go back to the work of God in our soul. The test, the trying of our faith. Tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, when the end of our life comes, or when the end of the world comes, we want to possess a purified faith, a true faith, a God-given faith, a faith which has a single eye to the honour and glory of God, a faith that desires that the Lord Jesus Christ might be lifted up and honoured and glorified. That's why it says here, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to have our faith, our soul purified. My friends, that doesn't happen easily. It doesn't happen easily. You see, we need to pass through trying times, fiery times. But bless God, you see, he brings us through. You know, in Zechariah we're told about bringing a third part through the fire. What that means is there were two thirds had to be lost, had to be burnt up. That which was not of faith, that which was not true, that which was of the flesh, we had to lose that which is false. We may have been foolishly relying upon some vain hope. The devil will sometimes pretend that this is the way, this is right. My friends, the Spirit of God will test it. So that which is false will be burnt up. And so we read this: whom having not seen ye love. Faith. God-given faith. This is the gospel. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Do you and I know anything of this great truth? Whom having not seen ye love. Isn't that a strange statement? See, this is a spiritual world, a spiritual scene we're speaking of here. And it's only those who possess the true life of God in the soul that will understand the truth of such a word. Whom having not seen, ye love. Well, do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he first loved us. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You see, every grace, every mercy emanates from our gracious God. It's love first and last. It's a wonder, isn't it? A wonder of wonders that God should look upon us and give us his love. And that love is set before us in showing to us he loved us so much that he was willing to submit to the will of his Father and to come and live in a sinful world and to die that excruciating sin atoning death that we might come and receive that inheritance incorruptible. Oh, my friends, the love of God, whom have not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. Oh, my friends, you see, again, God gives us this great ability and this great gift to believe. It's not something which we can produce ourselves. It's a God-given gift. Though now ye see him not, he gives faith, you see, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how important it is that we understand the wonderful favour of this faith. And I think this description that the apostle gives when he wrote to the Hebrews of faith is very important. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so he says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, believing. And what's the effect of that? When the Lord blesses us with believing faith, the apostle tells us then, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, I wonder, again, that's an evidence of the wonderful blessing of eternal life. If we have rejoiced with joy unspeakable, the Almighty God has been mindful of us. He saw us ruined in the fall, yet loved us notwithstanding all. What a blessing it is to have such a God as this. Well, the Apostle Peter, he knew, didn't he, the love of God. He knew what a great blessing it was, and therefore he could rejoice, and may we rejoice also with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. This is really the truth, isn't it? The saving us of our soul, the end of our faith, God-given faith, looks forward to the salvation of our soul, that time when by his grace we shall be gathered together in glory around that throne of God in heaven. Well, we've just gone through there a very short synopsis. Oh, I believe what the apostle was directing us to here when he speaks about the flesh and then he speaks about the word of the Lord enduring forever. And he says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Well, surely we have here tonight in these beautiful verses the gospel. And my friends, the evidence of receiving the Spirit of God and the hope through grace that we are numbered amongst the church of God, a number that no man can number, and a number that one day will be joined together. Yes, joined together and found in heaven, praising our God, praising our Saviour. Eternity. What a blessing it is to anticipate an eternity with the church of God. Our friends, those who we love to be with on the earth because of what we see in them. What do we see in them? We see Christ. My friends, if we don't see Christ, there's nothing really attractive. But if we see the work of Christ in our friends, we rejoice together. And we can believe then that as we've received living faith, they've received living faith. And therefore, that by the great and glorious gift of God, in his appointed time, there will be that gathering, the whole church of God together, in glory for eternity. endures forever. And so we have this here tonight. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord, the truth of God, the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen.